morning. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Robert Knott is going to be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Steve Carey. He is the author of the book Butterfly Landscapes of New Mexico, published by New Mexico Magazine, and he will be at Collected Works Bookstore tonight here in Santa Fe at 6 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning. How are you, Mary Charlotte?
Good. How are you? This is a wonderful book.
Oh, thank you very much.
I learned more than I ever knew I didn't know about butterflies, including that there are many, many species in New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas.
Yes.
Why in these dry climates are there so many butterflies?
Ah, that's a really good question. Well, it has to do with our very diverse landscapes here. We have everything from deserts all the way up to nice wet mountains with lots of trees and meadows, all the way up into tundra where it's even above tree line. We also have several different ecoregions in the state, varying from the Great Plains to the Chihuahuan Desert to the Rocky Mountains to Colorado Plateau. And most importantly, we also have a direct overland connection to Mexico and the American subtropics. So some of the butterflies we have just occasionally wander in from the south because they can and they don't know any better. So we get a little bit of those too.
I mean, there are migrating birds. Do butterflies migrate the way birds migrate?
Most of them don't. In fact, right now most butterflies are hibernating, except for one, and that's the monarch butterfly, which is probably the best known butterfly of all of our butterflies. And one of the reasons it's so well known is because of its fabulous round trip, four or five generation migration to Mexico in the winter. Basically that's to escape the winter.
Uh-huh.
But most of our other butterflies don't do that. They just hang out here and wait for spring.
So how are these delicate, beautiful, gossamer creatures, how are they adapted for survival?
Oh, gosh, that is a really good question. You can see New Mexico maybe as a challenging place to survive, but everything is adapted to its little niche in the ecosystem. And butterflies as adults only live very briefly.
Maybe, how long do they live?
Maybe 2 to 3 weeks as the flying around, beautiful, gossamer-winged adults that we all know and love. Most of the rest of their life, they are an egg, a little caterpillar, a bigger caterpillar, a large caterpillar, and then a chrysalis. And so most of their entire life, maybe let's say it takes a year, just as a general example, very little of that is spent as an adult butterfly. But each of those stages has its own adaptations. And some of the adaptations are readily apparent if you look at the wings. You see wonderful camouflage patterns. You see unusual wing shapes that are all part of the disguise of trying to avoid predators. They have adaptations for, the temperatures, the moisture situations. All these different things are part of their package of adaptations.
Looking at butterflies, and it's the same experience looking at certain kinds of, for example, tropical reef fish. You think that, they're adapted for survival, but they look for all the world like works of art. They're so beautifully decorated. And, I mean, is it really all, every bit of it is about survival?
Well, I don't know what to say to that question. Humans are very visual creatures, and butterflies are too. So what we see is part of what they see, and certainly part of us. It's an aesthetic sense, an artistic sense, and that's absolutely fabulous. I think that's definitely one of the reasons they are the way they are.
Do they get better mates when they're prettier?
I think there are definitely. Well, for each species, of course, they have its own color patterns and its own behaviors, and individuals that really gleam, really glow in their particular patterns and colors are probably more attractive to the opposite sex. Yeah, so you can, as a scientist, would probably go to each scale on the butterfly wing, and it could probably tell you exactly why it is the way it is. And that's fine, but it's also okay to look at the butterfly as a whole and see the really elaborate and kind of, who could have thought of this? These colors and patterns, and see them as art. That's fabulous.
How did you get into butterflying or whatever you, what is it called when you?
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah, that's a new word we all invented, us butterflyers, butterflying, yeah. I don't know. When I was a kid, we spent a lot of time outdoors, and in the summertime, it's just one of the things you see all the time. And so,
you grew up in the Midwest.
I grew up in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin and Michigan, and you don't see butterflies most of the year up there, but June, July, August you do. And it's when you're a kid, you're down at their level, so they're kind of right in your face, and it's hard not to notice. Then as an adult, I've always liked photography, and I've liked wildflower photography, and you look at enough flowers, pretty soon you see all this wonderful stuff going on the flowers. You see bees and moths and butterflies, and so that kind of got me back into butterflies.
What's the difference between a moth and a butterfly?
It's really a matter of lifestyle. Moths are mostly nocturnal. Butterflies are mostly daytime creatures, and then when you think about how different the world is at night versus during the day, you get a sense of why butterflies are brightly colored and moths are generally not. Moths find mates mostly through chemistry, through pheromones, and so they have the detectors, the scent detectors in their antennas that help them find mates. And they don't need to be brightly colored because it's too dark and you can't see them anyway. Butterflies during the day, their eyes are one of their powerful senses, and so they're mostly finding mates using visual cues, and so colors and wing patterns are very important for that.
So they live a couple of weeks. What is their behavior like? There's one little section in your book about how they find mates, and I guess whether you're a butterfly or a human or a peacock or a dog, that is part of your concern.
Well, it is, and if you're a butterfly, the time you spend as an egg or a caterpillar isn't really part of, that's not the time you want to look for a mate. The caterpillar is the growing stage of a butterfly, but once you come out of the chrysalis and you're an adult, that is the purpose of the adult, for all insects, actually. And so you only have 2 weeks to find a mate, so you don't have a lot of time to, chat with the neighbors or listen to the wonderful shows on the radio. You have to go about it, and so their behaviors are directly focused on finding a mate or getting enough energy and being warm enough and in the right place so they can find a mate. Yeah.
And what are their relationships like within their species and then between species? Do they get along with each other?
I think it varies a lot. One of the things you can see in the summertime, in a warm summer day, if you, for example, walk up into the mountains above Santa Fe here, and come across where a little stream is crossing the trail, and there's a little bit of mud, you'll often see little groups of butterflies hanging out together there, and usually they're sipping moisture and trying to get their electrolytes balanced, maybe cool off, get their body temperature just right. But the fact that there's, maybe 10 or 12 of them there doing the same thing, you just kind of have to wonder if there's any communication going on or if there's some sort of a social aspect to that. And other butterflies you see doing similar things. So I don't know. You have to wonder, though.
Well, you described, I think, somewhere about during the height of their mating season, male butterflies can be quite belligerent.
Doesn't that shock you?
I'm shocked.
Yes, me too. That's, finding a mate is such a crucial element of the adult butterfly stage that they will chase away other butterflies of their own sex, of their own species that are males. They will chase away butterflies of other species. They'll chase away other bugs. They'll chase away birds. They'll even chase after you if you think that you're, kind of trying to elbow in on their territory.
I'm not sure how well that would work on humans.
Well, it doesn't work very effectively, but you can appreciate the effort, though, when it kind of flies out at you and says, hey, get out of here.
So if they live a couple of weeks at most, then this whole set of stages of development, the egg, the larva, caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly, repeats itself many times during one season.
It depends on which species we're talking about. For most species, it takes a year to go through the whole cycle.
Oh, is that right?
Some of them will go a lot faster and can maybe get two or three generations through in a given year. And, painted ladies are like that. They're very prolific. They grow very fast. But then there are other butterflies, and you can see some of these butterflies if you go up to, say, Santa Fe Baldy, where the growing season is very short. It's winter up there most of the year, and for the butterflies that live up there growing on those plants, they may take 2 years for them to complete their life cycle. So it's that variable.
So, by the way, we're talking to Steve Carey. The book is called Butterfly Landscapes of New Mexico. So how do they survive at night? So they go to sleep like the rest of us. How do they not get eaten?
Wow, that's a really interesting way to set that question up. At night, butterflies need to be warm in order to fly. And at night, of course, around here especially, it's not very warm. And so late afternoon, they all settle down somewhere for the evening, and they try to pick a spot where they will be well hidden, because they will be immobilized by the cold for the most part. So when you're not able to move or to escape, you need to have a really good disguise. So most butterflies, if you look at them with the wings open, most of them have very beautiful upper sides of wings. But then when they close the wings, they have this other pattern that for them is their camouflage or their disguise.
So do they have any green and sort of stalky looks so they can blend in with plants?
Some do, yeah. In fact, blending in with plants is one of the common disguises. There are some that when their wings are closed look just like dead leaves. And there are some, when their wings are closed, look like yellowed leaves. And some even look somewhat like green leaves. So, yeah, blending in with vegetation is a very common disguise.
And then you said they hibernate in the winter. In what form do they exist over the winter?
Well, each species has its own way of arranging its life cycle. Some will pass the winter as an egg. Some will pass the winter as a partially grown caterpillar. Some will pass as a chrysalis, and some as an adult. But regardless of which stage they're hibernating in, they have a way of turning their body fluids to an antifreeze-type chemistry so that they don't freeze, even though it might get, to be 0 degrees or very cold.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So what is their role in the ecosystem?
Well, they have three main roles, I guess you could say. One role is their caterpillars chew on plants. Of course, the plants don't like this, and if you're a gardener, you know all about that. But that's one thing that helps keep plants from taking over the world, is having things chew on them. Another important role they play is, and this is especially true for the caterpillar stage, is they are food for other animals. And one of my birder friends told me that a lot of songbirds will raise their young on a diet that's 90% caterpillars. So that's a lot of caterpillars that get eaten, and so they kind of stoke the food chain, as it will.
And, of course, that keeps them in balance so that all the plants don't get killed.
Exactly. And then the third thing I guess I would add is that the adult butterflies bring a benefit to a lot of plants by pollinating the flowers. And that act there is a way to help plants reproduce, and that's being done by the reproductive form of the butterfly, so there's some nice little harmonies built into their ecosystem roles.
And as you talk about in the book, you can actually plant your garden to attract butterflies.
Yeah.
And watch pollination in action and all of that.
Yes, you can. And it's not quite the same as putting out food for birds. It's a similar idea. It takes a little different approach. But it's a lot of fun to do. Yeah. And so one of the things I recommend, for example, if people want to attract butterflies, a good rule of thumb in terms of how do you select the plants to plant is pick plants that have flowers that occur in large clusters of small flowers. So if you think about things like a butterfly bush and butterfly weed, for example, those all have those characteristics. There's lots of small flowers packed into a cluster. And there are other plants that fit that characteristic as well. A lot of the daisy-type flowers, coneflowers, for example, have that characteristic. And coneflowers are nice because they have all the flowers with the nectar are right in the middle, and the butterflies can kind of land on the petals and just kind of work their way around the flower. And I like to call this is the Walmart effect. Walmart is really obviously an expert business company and good marketer, and butterflies, if they can find one spot to get all their needs met, all their food needs met, then they don't have to venture out into traffic and and take the same risks that we would take.
One-stop shopping.
That's it.
That's hilarious. So the but it's interesting also that they can't drink water straight out of, for example, a bird bath or a little pool of water or something like that. They have to actually get it from moist soil.
Yeah, it has to be a porous medium, and soil is a good example of that. Just because of the way their mouth parts work, they can't drink from an open water surface. But there's lots of other ways, places they can get moisture too, in addition to wet soil. You'll sometimes see them at rotting fruit or some less tasty items like animal scat and even dead animals occasionally. It's, in a sense, they're part of the recycling crew as well.
So they must like compost piles.
They might like compost piles, yeah, I think so. And they're there because they need salt in their diet just like anybody does, whether it's domestic livestock or wild animals. Everybody needs a little bit of salt.
So your book, Butterfly Landscapes of New Mexico, is, among everything else, a field guide that people can take with them and go around the whole entire state of New Mexico, some areas of which are more butterfly-rich than others.
Yeah.
What are some of the characteristics of the geography of New Mexico, of different parts of New Mexico, that gives rise to different butterflies?
Well, I would say that there's a certain group of butterflies that you can see pretty much anywhere. And those are the first butterflies we talk about in the book. They're the relatively common ones that most people will know right off the bat. But there are other ones that you have to kind of mount a special expedition for, go to a certain part of the state at a certain time of the year into certain habitats. And, generally these are in places with unusual features, special water courses, special mountain ranges, that sort of thing. So the greatest diversity of butterflies in this state, and we have more than 300 species statewide, but if you want to see the most numbers of species, you need to go to the mountainous areas. That's because we have lots of different habitats squeezed into small areas. And so whether it's north central New Mexico mountains like the Sangre de Cristos or the Jemez, those have lots of different butterflies there. And if you wander on a walk or a hike, you know, from a valley bottom up into a meadow, into the trees, over to a pond, you'll just go into different habitats where different butterflies will be living because different plants are there. And of course the butterflies are tied to the plants.
So are they shy if they see you coming? Will they run away, so to speak, or are they just going about their business? I mean, you take a lot of photographs of them.
Yeah, the photographs that I didn't take aren't in the book, and there are a lot of them, too. But butterflies, you know, they have they are prey items, so they have, like any prey animal, they have a need to keep a sharp eye out. And if you were to get within 5 or 6 feet of most butterflies, they would probably not tolerate that. But there are ways of approaching. I know that if your shadow passes across a butterfly, that's a sure way to scare them off. But if you approach from behind and you stay kind of low and move kind of slow, then, you know, they might let you get a little bit closer. And if they're particularly occupied, nectaring at a really yummy flower or something like that, you can actually get quite close. So
now, some people, I mean, historically have, and there are incredible butterfly collections where people catch them and they kill them and they make these beautiful collections. Have you done that? Do you like to do that?
I have done that. I think there is a value in collecting, and I know there's been a lot of individual people, you know, kind of taking care of their individual needs for beauty in their lives, and I get that. But a lot of butterfly science has advanced also because of specimens that have been collected. And we wouldn't know nearly as much about butterflies without the scientific work on the specimens. And I think for kids in particular, having that tangible in-contact experience with butterflies can be very important in helping them make a connection with butterflies. So I actually encourage kids to go out and get a net and make a collection. But there's other ways to enjoy them too. And now there's close focus binoculars where people with aging eyes like myself, you know, we can actually see butterflies very close up through the binoculars. And photography is a very enjoyable way to appreciate them as well.
So this is a field guide, and Santa Fe County, where we are sitting, happens to be a pretty good butterfly place in terms of just the number of species that you can see.
Yes, it actually is. Just off the top of my head, I'd say we probably have recorded about 125 or 130 different species of butterflies in the county. And, yeah, it's it's a great place to go. There's lots of different, I mean, there's field guides to hiking trails, and so you can take one of the hikes that's in that book, and take the butterfly book and see what butterflies you see on that particular hike. And the more of those hikes you take, the more different habitats you'll get into and the more variety of butterflies you'll see.
So what do you do in the winter when there's no butterflies to see?
Well, let's see. I occasionally work on writing articles, which I enjoy doing. I work up my field notes from the previous summer, organize my photographs, catch up on sleep, do a little hibernating of my own.
Do you get up very early to actually go see the butterflies? Is early morning a good time for them?
Yeah, during the season, which is mostly May through August, I would say, and to a lesser extent, March through October. But butterflies are morning creatures too, but they need to first warm up, and so you need to kind of be aware of where the sun is. And I would say, by 9 o'clock in the morning on a day in May through August, that's a good time to be up. 9 through 11 is the best time to be checking for butterflies.
Well, the book is beautiful, and I have to say it's a really beautifully designed book, too, and with great illustrations, wonderful printing, wonderful color. It's called Butterfly Landscapes of New Mexico by Steve Carey. It's published by New Mexico Magazine, and Steve Carey will be at Collected Works Bookstore tonight at 6 in the evening, Collected Works Bookstore on Galisteo Street in Santa Fe.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing a bunch of folks there, and come on down. It's a fabulous book. New Mexico Magazine did a fabulous job on the design and the editing, and very, very pleased with it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment with Robert Knott. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Positiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He is the education reporter for the New Mexican, and he's with us here almost every Friday speaking of the arts.
I try. That was a nice interview you did with Stephen.
Yeah, isn't he terrific?
Yeah, and Paul Weideman has a very nice spread on the book as well in today's Positiempo, so take a look at that.
I love it. The book is good.
Yeah. Amorous Crossing is a play not getting a lot of attention. We did not get much pre-advance notice that it was occurring over at El Museo Cultural. It's an original play by Mark Miller.
Is that the Arden Players?
I think Deborah Dennison's producing it, but I don't think it's an Arden Players production, but I may be wrong. Todd Booth is directing it.
When does that open?
It opens tonight, 8 o'clock, tomorrow 8 o'clock, Sunday at 2. And I believe it's also next weekend. I could not make it to a dress rehearsal last night. I was covering an education event till late. Here's a phone number to call. It's an 888 number. 888-510-4557. And it's too bad the Beach Boys have sold out up at Buffalo Thunder, because I'd like to go up and hear them sing Help
The
Me
Beach
Rhonda.
Boys.
Yeah, they're great.
I want to hear
Rhonda.
Them play the theremin.
The theremin? I never heard that song.
It's in Good Vibrations, that sort of Star Trek-y sounding. Yeah, that.
I'm thinking of good. They're up at Buffalo Thunder, but it's supposedly sold out. If you want to try to get in, head on up there. What the hell? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm messing this all up. Okay, let me start over and get a drink. Rum in the morning, that's good. Take a look at the cover of the Positiempo. If you're an Obama fan, I suspect that even if you're not an Obama fan, yikes. I don't know how Bruce Lee got tied up with Obama. It's a great image, and in fact, it ties in with an exhibition up in Denver, which ties in with a book, Manifest Hope. And it's really a piece about how artists are saluting our 44th president. That's Michael Cuff's image on the front of Positiempo. And there is a story by Doug Fairfield in today's Positiempo. He's also done some side stories on, like, the art of Abraham Lincoln, if you can believe such a thing, and presidential art collections, things like that. Maybe he'll do a governor's art collection here in New Mexico. So take a look. Meanwhile, Santa Fe Found, which is good because I'm here, Fragments of Time. Opening reception 5:30 tonight, New Mexico History Museum.
What's that?
In the Palace of the Governors, Museum Admission. Paul Weideman wrote about it. It's about what's underneath the city and clay pots and manuscripts and ancient stuff. The stuff you find over in the Palace of the Governors, you go over there and you see, like, how people used to live, and then you stop complaining about your own life.
Right.
Because, like, we didn't have, like, arrows sticking in our hides, and we didn't have to sleep outside at night. In the old cowboy movies.
And we don't have chamber pots.
No, but if you're out in the middle of nowhere, that stuff didn't matter, but... We have a different kind of pot to make us happy. Not that I indulge in that much.
Oh, I thought you meant like early, early Santa Fe.
Yes.
Hey, what else is happening tonight? Or are you done with that one?
Yeah, I'm done with that one. Tonight, that's nice of you to ask. A little bit of dialogue between you and me.
Tonight from 5 to 8 in the evening.
I should come over to your house.
Martin Back and Phil Montione's Atmosphere Evolute, Evolving Weather Music, with special musical performance by the Ancestral Grown Liberation Army at the Move-In Gallery from 5 to 8 at the College of Santa Fe Move-In Gallery space, which is down by the screen, basically.
The screen.
And I had them on the air yesterday, except we had a little technical problem, so they didn't come on the air until about a quarter of nine, but I think some people heard them. But anyway, they're terrific, and they are doing a musical piece which is based on sensors that are measuring different variables in the weather.
Are sensors ever measuring what I say on the air? Sensors from KSFR?
No, not sensors with a C, sensors with an S.
Well, when you say it, how does anybody know the difference? That's like when you say anamin and somonym.
You mean homonym and antonym? And cinnamon? Is that what you're trying to say?
I have cinnamon.
Or are you trying to talk
toast.
To cinnamon? It's about cinnamon.
Remind me what those three are.
Because it is Thanksgiving. Okay, wait a minute. First of all, a sensor, which you would know by context with an S, is something that senses, for example, temperature or relative humidity or pressure or something like that.
So if I can sense you're hot for me, then that's sensor with an S.
Like a thermometer.
I can be that.
Is a sensor.
Give me a little time.
And then a sensor with a C is somebody who
stops
takes
from being
out
naughty.
Yeah, takes out bad words or bad ideas.
That's bad.
That's very, and it's then you have censorship, which can be bad.
I know, but I like censorship with an S if I'm sensing that there's sizzling sensations coming from a siren of the I was going to say opposite sex. I was looking for another word for opposite starting with an S so I could have alliteration.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be synonym because a synonym is a word that has the same meaning as another word.
Right, and what is it?
Homonym is two words that sound the same but don't mean the same thing and often
like
are
sensor.
Spelled differently.
Surprise,
exactly.
Surprise, there we go. I got you right back to the beginning.
Yes.
I can do this with you.
We've come full circle. An antonym is two words, is a word that means the opposite of another word.
I can teach you. Movies. Untitled at CCA. They didn't give us much notice on it, but I did get a chilly blurb in there. It is a very funny spoof and satire.
I loved it. And that was supposed to air yesterday, too, and it didn't because of our technical glitch, so I'm going to probably air it on Monday.
Good, yeah. Visual and performance arts. Go see it. It's a perfect
hilarious.
Fit.
Hilarious.
For anybody who loves the arts, CCA opens tonight.
If you love, this is what's interesting about the movie. If you love contemporary art or 20th century art or modern art, and if you have been driven absolutely nuts by the some of the, what should you say, bullpoo language surrounding art and the kind of art critical dialogue that people elevate above
the
art
itself.
Oh, I love
it. Because, yeah, exactly. Especially as a former critic, I still review movies, but I'm not reviewing theater anymore. Oh, and also sometimes artist, although I often acknowledge I'm more of a craftsman than an artist. It's just great about how it looks at both sides of that dialogue and takes pot shots at both. The critics are very pompous and arrogant and unpleasant, but the artists themselves are coming up with stuff that is frankly, open to interpretation, sort of drecky, but, you know.
And some of it is good and some of it is horrendous.
Exactly, and they don't see the difference. And the critics don't see the difference. And nobody's seen the difference, and that's the wonderful thing.
It's a really interesting
movie. It is.
Movie.
It's worth seeing. You got to go see it. It's good. Captain Blood is a great Errol Flynn film from 1935, which is happily playing at the Lensic Saturday night, unhappily on DVD. I wish it were 35mm. And that's part of a tribute to John Bowman.
Yes! John Bowman, director of the Santa Fe Film Festival.
Yes, John Bowman.
No, I'm saying this because, John Bowman's great, and the Santa Fe Film Festival is coming up, and I'm going to devote the entire week after Thanksgiving to nothing but film festival.
Can I help you?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it. So anyway, 7 o'clock at the Lensic, call the Lensic to get in. There is a story by me on John Bowman and his history here, which is very amusing if I do say so myself. And, by the way, I do. There's a little side story on Captain Blood. It's a fun movie. You can also catch The Damned United, which is a very interesting semi-documentary look at Brian Clough, who tried to lead an English football team to victory after an incredible career and a lot of problems he faced. It's a very compelling picture. It's not perfect, but it opens Wednesday at the Vargas. Some big films opening. I don't know what to say about them yet. Fantastic Mr. Fox, Old Dogs, Planet 51, and for teenagers, The Twilight Saga New Moon, where you know, human girl falls in love with teenage vampire. That seems to be a big theme these days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would fall in love with somebody like that, would you?
You know, I haven't really thought about it enough. That's a very, very deep question.
What if,
and
like,
I really need to give it thought.
Okay, but what if you didn't know? All you knew is that, like, at dawn every morning, your partner suddenly had to rush out and left, like, before light, and you were like, gee, that's strange. I was about to make some coffee, and she's gone. And then she just showed up, like, right after dark every night. And that's, like, after, like, do you think after, like, 4 months you'd figure it out?
How can a vampire be hot?
What do you mean hot? Sexually hot?
Well, yeah.
Some people find vampires very sexy. They like the idea of them.
But aren't they, like, cold-blooded?
Well, they're sort of reptilian in nature. I've known very few in my life, and I've never been that intimate with any. But I would agree with you. I mean, there's something, you know, it's something like, why do women go for bad boys, dark, those dark nights of the evening that they sort of like? And they know the guys are going to treat them terribly. And
men
do this, too.
That's because they're just passing time till they find Mr. Wonderful.
There is no Mr. Wonderful.
What about you, Robert?
No. There ain't no Mr. and there ain't no Ms. Wonderful.
What about me, Robert?
The only thing wonderful, which you will agree with me, is
doggies.
Doggies are wonderful.
Okay, here we go.
Wonderful.
I got a message from KSFR's Linda Highhill.
And hi, Linda.
She says, KSFR and Santa Fe Art Institute present Straight Up with special guest Arlen Asher. He's a multi-read player, and this is all happening at the Santa Fe Institute. I mean, the Santa Fe Art Institute on the College of Santa Fe campus tomorrow, November 21st at 7 o'clock. For more information, you can call 428-1379. It's a nice jazz concert, and that's, and Santa Fe Art Institute is a really nice place to go listen to jazz.
I love them, and again, I will honor them in case you're wondering. They are excellent at getting press and making sure the press is correct, and we talk about this a lot, and that makes a difference.
They just do great work over there,
they
too.
They do great work, but that goes down to their press people, and I like to honor press people who do a good job pressing. Tonight, art openings.
Okay, I've got one. The Lifelink is sponsoring an art show and sale, Journeys of Courage, where those with mental illness or history of mental illness illness can exhibit art for sale. And that is happening.
5 o'clock.
You tell me when and where.
5 o'clock at 2325 Cerrillos Road, The Lifelink, 438-0010. The show runs through Saturday, just 2 days. Flying Cow Gallery at
Warehouse. And I was just going to say, Lifelink is a terrific organization. They do. They really help a lot of people. They kind of fly under the radar. Not that many people know about them, but they have helped a bunch of people I know who are in need and have no place else to turn.
Excellent. And over at Warehouse 21 in the Flying Cow Gallery, whoa, I'm flying. It's like Mr. Ed, except he's got wings and he's a cow and he doesn't talk. So.
That's when you cross a cow and a butterfly. You get a flying cow.
And you think I'm weird. Fine arts for children and teens.
So I've got butterflies on the brain because of the interview with Steve Caron.
It's nice. It's a photo show by Fact. Those guys are great. They work with teens and young people after school. They work with homeless youth. They work with people in the school. Work by participants in Fact's community mural program. Fine art for children and teens photo show tonight. Warehouse 21, Flying Cow, Gallery, 5 o'clock. Warehouse 21 is at 1614 Paseo de Peralta, right near the railroad tracks. Remember the discussion we had last week about identical cousins? I forgot to research that.
Oh, that's really too bad.
I was thinking about
that. People have been waiting all week to find out.
I was remembering a conversation we had about 3 years ago about Petticoat Junction.
Oh, no.
No, wait, because remember the opening scene where the three girls are swimming nude and then they get their petticoats, but they weren't really. I researched this. They were just behind like a process screen. They were clothed.
You researched the reality of the opening credits of a 1960s sitcom?
Right, but I forgot to research whether cousins could be identical. So I want to know if any of your listeners could email us. We're off next week, I think, because it's the day after Thanksgiving.
You know, I think that this town's leading geneticists may have more important issues to be dealing with over Thanksgiving.
I'll ask him after New Year's.
Okay. Okay, I got an announcement. Numerology, the power of numbers. Join Ruth Dreher for a talk about numerology from the Luo Shu Square. It's some kind of Chinese numerology. And it's from 2 to 4 tomorrow, Saturday, November 21st, at the main branch of the Santa Fe Public Library.
So wait, does that tell you like what your lucky numbers are and such?
I don't know.
Well, what is numerology? Something to do with the numbers in your life?
I know very little, if anything, about numerology. But what I do know is that you do. I mean, I've had people say, "Oh, let's add up the numbers of your birthday," And then it comes up with a number. Let's not. And you can, but I'm not going to. And it comes up with some number, and that number is supposed to be meaningful. And then you do the same thing with the letters of your name.
Interesting.
Where you assign each one a number according to, you know, A is 1 and B is 2 and all that kind of stuff. But in China, they've got characters, so I don't know how they would do it there.
We've got character right here at KSFR. Hey, I'm going to run down a lot of theater happening this weekend besides Amherst Crossing. You've got, and we heard a radio announcement for this, Cabaret at St. John's in the Great Hall tonight, 8 o'clock, also tomorrow and Sunday, just one weekend. You've got Rumors, Santa Fe Prep, directed by Brad Fairbanks, a good director, good guy, good actor. That's Neil Simon's very funny farce at 7:30 tonight up at the Santa Fe Prep campus on Camino de Cruz Blanca. I'll give you a phone number, 982-1829. You've got 1001 Arabian Nights, which would add up to, like, if my math is any good, about 3 years. It's 2 and 6 p.m. Tomorrow. That's Southwest Children's Theater over at the Playhouse, 984-3055. Beauty and the Beast is Pandemonium's take on the story about the gal that falls in love with the Wolfman. It's at 2 o'clock tomorrow and Sunday at James A. Little, 982-3327. Finally, a little late for Halloween, but still in time to give the kids a scare, Santa Fe Performing Arts young actors present The Legend of Sleepy Hollow at 7 o'clock last night, pardon me, tonight and tomorrow night at SFPA Armory for the Arts, 1050 Opecos Trail, 984-1370. And they've got fog machines and bridges and a headless horseman and a whole bunch of stuff.
So here we have another reading, an evening of gratitude and praise. I guess it's a pre-Thanksgiving event. It's a fundraiser for New Mexico Literary Arts Poetry Gratitude Awards. It's a reading with Anne Valley Fox, Joan Logie, J.B. Bryan, Miriam Sagan, Michelle Holland, and special guest Mary McGinnis. And that's this coming Monday from 6 to 8 in the evening.
Excellent. Let's talk briefly about music. Sometimes we do this, sometimes we don't. So let's just give some musicians a plug.
Let's do
that. It's the time
of
year when it's fun to go out, have a drink, and listen to some music or dance if you want to. So I'm going to jump all over the place. Stay with me. Tonight at Corazon, Latter-day Jazz with Clark, Bransford, and Ward, 5 o'clock, no cover. Right down the street of the Cowgirl is Stephanie Hatfield and Hot Mess, 9 o'clock, small cover charge. El Farol has Sabor, Cuban music. These guys are great.
Yay, they are great.
La Fiesta Lounge at
La
Fonda.
That's Victor Alvarez, and there's a movie about him in the
Santa
Fe Film Festival.
Cuban music, correct.
Yeah.
And the title of it escapes me. La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda has Los Wise Guys. I still have to go hear these guys play. I think they play oldies, and I love that music. 8 o'clock, La Fonda, great place to hang out. Needs a bigger dance floor, but beyond that, I like it. Bill Hearn Trio tonight at 2nd Street Brewery, 5:30. Free. And finally, at Tiny's, The Jakes, Classic Rock, 8:30, no cover. That's tonight. I'm going to run real quickly through some for Saturday night. Nacha Mendez Trio doing Latin music at Chispa del Mesón at 8 o'clock Saturday. At El Dorado Saturday, Nosotros, Latin music, 8:30. They are terrific, that band.
Yes, indeed.
Saturday afternoon, you're downtown. It's getting a little cloudy. You feel like a 3:30 drink. I'm not home. Go to Evangelos down on San Francisco Street. The Santa Fe Chili's are doing Dixieland Jazz, no cover. That's 3 o'clock tomorrow. And again, I'm talking about Saturday night. Saturday at the Mineshaft down in Madrid, Trash Disco with DJ Una, 8 o'clock to midnight. Call for cover. And Saturday night at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision, Tumbao with DJ PA Tricks, Latin Fusion, 8:30.
Tumbao.
Thank you. I was wondering about that. Proceeds benefit the food bank. You got to pay to get in. We don't mention prices on the air. And if you want something quieter.
That's terrific DJ.
Saturday night, cool. Charles Tishner on piano, Saturday, 8 o'clock. Finally, Sunday, and this will be my last one. Celebrations has another Irish session with Matt Ritchie, Colin McAvichney, Robin Carnes, and Jerry Carthy, 5:30 to 8. This is picking up steam. I still have to go pay them a visit. Call for the cover charge. It's a small cover charge. You want to make sure you pay something to go hear them play. 5:30 Sunday, Celebrations on St. Mike's. That same night at the Cowgirl is the Bus Tapes. And that same night at Pranzo is Phyllis Love on the piano. 6 o'clock, a very small cover. I like somebody with the name Love in their name.
Yeah.
Love, exciting and new.
So
Phyllis Love,
tonight,
what are you going to do?
Tonight at the Gerald Peters Gallery.
Those guys.
Yes, those guys. And I believe it's at 4:30 in the afternoon. There is an opening of the Matchbox Collection, which
is a
fundraiser for the Hospice Center in Santa Fe and Presbyterian Medical Services. And because of the symbol of the farolitos in winter, they asked lots of people, including me, to take a matchbox, a big wooden matchbox, and decorate it. So you will have just dozens of boxes decorated by all sorts of people, from Ally McGraw to Bob Martin to Governor Bill Richardson, Mayor Koss, Stuart Ashman, lots of local and a couple of national people as well. And
they all did a matchbox?
Yeah, they all did a matchbox.
I believe Stuart Ashman did it because he's an artist. But what, you think some of these other guys hired somebody?
It's actually 5:30, not 4:30. It's 5:30 to 7:30 at the
jail. I mean, how do we know somebody didn't pay somebody to do the matchbox because they're too busy running the thing?
Well, they may have asked somebody to do it, and
and their name's on it. That happens.
Yeah. And that I think that's part of the deal, and it's on the little. There's probably a little card that says who really did it or whatever. But anyway, Wes and Mara Studi did one, and it should be fun. I like it when there are art exhibitions where everybody starts with the same raw material. The CCA does those exhibitions where everybody has, what is it, an 8-inch square or an 8-inch cube to work with.
Yeah, it's 8x8. I like those things. You have to write a play, and it has to be 3 pages long.
Yeah.
Things like they should do the 3-page play contest here instead of the 10-minute bench warmers. They should do like 3 pages you have to tell your story. You'd see how many people can really economically tell a story. But this is great. Yeah, there's other people. Robin Martin, who runs the New Mexican, is having a matchbox. George Rivera. Also, you mentioned Wes Studi. A lot of people. So check it out. I forgot that was happening, and I'm really glad you brought that up tonight. The show will continue roughly through the Thanksgiving weekend. Check out Gerald Peters. Also, Collected Works has an event on November 30th, December 1st through 5th, and some of the shops at Sambusco, because we're getting into that holiday time, although it's a little too early for the holiday music. I'm getting really upset.
Yeah, it's a little too early.
There's one radio station that's playing Christmas songs already, and then I went to a store this weekend, and they had Christmas songs, and it just annoys me. So the question is, do I go to the manager and make a big stink, or do I shop somewhere else? Or do I start humming
Or
Christmas
do you wear
songs?
Earplugs?
Well, I was in a drugstore. That's not a bad idea.
Or
I
do you have
some earplugs.
Or do you take
Where
your
were you?
iPod?
When I was at this drugstore Saturday and heard the music, that's a brilliant idea. I should just put the earplugs in.
The iPod would work better.
But what if some woman said, man, you are sexy, and I didn't hear that?
Well, you know, it's a trade-off. Life is a trade-off. Hey, since we're not going to be here a week from today,
that's right,
I want to let people know that the second annual stocking stuffer sale opens November 27th, and it's the City of Santa Fe Community Gallery. It's Friday, November 27th, continuing through the 8th of January, and it's from 10 to 5. The Community Gallery is located inside the Santa Fe Community Convention Center on Marcy Street. And there's public parking and all kinds of good things, so 10 to 5, a lot of days, and it's locally made art. So it's like a, you know, buy and give local kind of gift-giving opportunity.
Hey, what time is it?
8:53.
It's my first big picture comment in about 6 weeks. I took a couple of weeks off. I was tied up with education, but I finally got one in there talking about the challenge of being an independent film producer here, and it's not an easy... It's just not an easy equation for either side, believe me, and I try to be fair-minded about this stuff. So sorry for those of you that happen to like my film column. If you don't like it, I got bad news. I have one, and if you do like it, I finally have one in there. I will have one next week. Be talking about a lot of topics happening before the legislative session, and so I'm trying to get back to that.
Hey, I've got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
This coming Monday night at 6 o'clock in the Hotel Santa Fe, Southwest Seminars continues its benefit lecture series, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Perspectives on the Environment and the West. And Mike Landis, a hydrologist from El Paso, Texas, will speak on the following topic, Strange Bedfellows,
Ooh.
Riparian Restoration
this
Below Elephant Butte.
And
riparian
That's the title?
Yes, I just said Riparian Restoration Below Elephant Butte.
Wait a minute. How does this tie in with Strange Bedfellows? That was an erotic-sounding title. Now we find out it's got something to do with a water reservoir.
It benefits the New Mexico Environmental Law Center.
This is amazing.
For more information, you can visit NMELC, which stands for New Mexico Environmental Law Center, .org.
Do you think a book called Naughty Stories My Ex-Lovers Told Me Would Sell?
I don't know, Robert.
It's a bit better than the... Strange bit. Okay, the Contemporary Clay Fair is this weekend at the Santa Fe Women's Club, which is a great club, by the way. 1660 Old Pecos Trail. It's going to be worked by 30 artists. It's free to get in. 989-9799 and 9779, pardon me. 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 5 Sunday. So Contemporary Clay, if you like clay, head on over there.
You know, bedfellow is a word that has two very different meanings.
Let's hear them.
Well, one of them is the person you share your bed with. So, you know, like you and your dogs. And the other one would be more like a political alliance.
Right. So, all right, so here's my other question. When they say a doctor has a bedside manner, what does that mean? Is that naughty?
No. When a doctor has a good bedside manner, that means when you're saying, ow, I'm in terrible pain, instead of saying, well, of course you are. You have yuckerdoodleitis. They say, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me give you some morphine. I hope you feel better.
That's a good bedside manner.
Well, I'm just saying.
Do you remember when doctors...
It means having some actual empathy and sense of what the person is experiencing rather than seeing them as an object of science.
I gotcha. That's a good thing. Okay, I know. I've had some strange doctors in my life. I went to one doctor, and every time I went to him, he complained about everything in his life.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I had to take a physical, he said, no, don't take off your clothes. I'll just check your heartbeat. He goes, oh, my mother-in-law. And he started talking to me.
You should have sent him a bill.
Now you tell. You come up with other great advice 10 months after I need it. You're a lot of help. And the radio hearing.
Well, you didn't
Christmas
ask at the time when you needed it. You really need to learn to ask for what you want.
I'll bring my cell phone and call you at every moment.
Okay.
All right. What time is it?
8:57.
That's pretty good. Soon I'll be singing Dean Martin Christmas tunes, but I'll wait till after Thanksgiving. We will not be on the air next Friday. I will come early if you like on December 4th to help you talk about the film festival.
Oh,
there's
that'd
a lot
be
of
great.
Are you starting to see movies?
I just got the first one.
Which is?
It's called Newman. It's about healing plants.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm going to do that one.
I haven't seen that one. Good.
Yeah, and it's by Anne Armbrecht, who was on the show, I think, a year or two ago, doing a kind of a naturalist's memoir.
Good.
So,
is a naturalist a nudist?
No. That's a different thing. It's a person who goes out in nature and studies it and writes about it.
So what's the word for people that go out in nature with no clothes on?
Nudist.
No, there's something like nature something, believe me.
Oh, by the way, heads up on Saturday, November 28th and Sunday, November 29th from 10 to 5, the La Cienega Studio Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Right after Thanksgiving weekend.
Studio tour season.
And my friends Kathleen McLeod and Tina Davila will have their art in it. And you can probably find out more about that in the Pasatiempo, huh?
That's good.
So you've been listening. Here comes the music. And
wait.
So that means it's time to go.
Thanksgiving Day, pick up the New Mexican and look at the 10 who made a difference.
Oh, nice.
We cover 10 people in the community who have made a difference. I think there's somebody you and I both like who's involved in the book business who's one of those people.
Oh, great.
But Thursday, not New Mexican Thursday. Go ahead, take
Thursday.
It away.
Thursday. Okay, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. This is Robert Knott. Speaking of the arts, you can find us streaming on the web at ksfr.org. My podcast site is santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Did I say that already? Anyway, thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that,
Jazz a la carte.
Jazz a la carte.
Con Ricardo.
Con Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona.
Por supuesto.
Por supuesto.
Un programa excelente.
How's your doggies?
My doggies are fine. My doggies are good. I'm going to be house-sitting for a couple of adorable doggies this weekend.
That's good.
Yeah, I'll be going over there to see them soon and pet them, and then they roll over and I pet them again.
That's a good thing to do with doggies. They also like
it.
To be walked.
Well, I know that, but I walk my dogs twice, sometimes three times a day. They get walks. I exercise my dogs.
All right, then.
I exercise my free rights. Good seeing you. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Have a wonderful
You have a great
Thanksgiving.
Remember, we're not doing this next Friday.
Oh, by the way, on Wednesday, Stacy Pearl will be here talking about Thanksgiving dinner and how to cook it and all that good stuff. We do that every year, and it's so much fun.
I'm going out for dinner.
Take it easy.
I'll see you around.
Hasta la vista.